Hello, world.
What's up? Okay.
I am Sky. Yes, I'm Fly, straight from the Southwest Atlanta, but currently living where there's beach cabanas, and I'm living in and I'm Southern California blessed, living in the Wild West, and I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl Sylves, VA all day, two up, two down. I'm back in Los Angeles and coughing a lot less, so that's good. I do not have COVID, but whatever virus I did have sucks very badly. So
I don't know what that is, why that is. Hey, who are we? We're Shea Butter FC podcast, features two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin
and lay your edges
and deepen your love for all things black women.
So it has been a long time since we've done an episode, but what we're gonna do, a rundown of what happened this week in the NWSL.
Sure.
That game we won't talk about.
Yeah,
we
will. Oh, we're not talking about it. Okay.
We're going to talk about it. Then I guess we're gonna talk about the Angel City documentary. Allegedly.
Sure. Have I finished? No. I was also sick.
Yeah. Sills was really sick, y'all. Y'all understand.
Like, really sick.
Yeah. Like, really, really sick. Then I guess we'll hits and riffs and or, well, whatever. Yeah, and rants or raves that will go the gamut of all kinds of shit that happened since we've been gone.
Yeah.
And then give some special shout outs because there's shit that y'all need to know. But anyway.
Yes. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so what are we starting with?
The football, I guess.
The NWSL. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yes, the NWSL. And I guess, quick recap, just for those who watch WSL in general, international football leagues were decided this week or the past couple of weeks, right? So obviously Barcelona won their league a long time ago. Chelsea won the WSL. Bayern Munich women won the Freund Bundesliga, and I believe Inter Milan won the Italian league. Did I miss anybody? France. I was almost at all rain. Jesus, Olympique Lyonnais won.
That's not the same thing anymore.
It's not, but Lyon won in France. So yes, that is the rundown, and then Legia is still going on, and we're not talking about that either. So
okay,
fine.
We're gonna say in the final, we're now reached the final, and our other team, Tigres,
will not be defending their title.
I mean, they will play. They're gonna play the. I'm about to call it the final. Leasing me out. They're gonna kill me.
I know what you mean.
They're gonna play the ultimate final. But yeah, they're not defending their title for this season because it's gonna be Club America. Shout out to Romain Alex. Versus Pachuca.
Go Pachuca.
Let's go Pachuca.
Go Jenny.
Let's go Jenny. Which in that, I don't know who's gonna win that. But Pachuca is proof that you don't have to have defense. We're gonna leave it at that.
Pachuca is proof that if you spend enough money, you might fuck around and win something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true too. You drop a mil on a player, you might be in the final for the first time in forever. I don't even think, have they ever been in the final? I don't think so.
No, anyway, I don't think they have. Yeah.
But back to the NWSL. That is now approaching the quarter of the season completion. So first game was the Kansas City situation.
Kansas City and Houston. Kansas City ended up being a 2-0 victory for Houston with goals by Scordonias. That was a grown woman goal.
Yeah, that was a grown woman goal.
And then defender, shout out to the delegation, Ali Price.
Yes.
And then so that was the first game Friday. The second game was supposed to be the big matchup. It was three or four good games last year, I guess, with Challenge Cup. You had San Diego and Portland, which was a lot of back and forth, and ended up 1-1. This game was in San Diego with an assist on the San Diego goal, a lovely assist by Jaden Shaw.
Yes.
The next game, are we going through the scores right now?
We just got through the scores. Just got all through right. the scores.
The first game on Saturday, there were three, was our Shea Butter Derby, which was Ole Reign versus Angel City. And if somebody whose team was on the wrong side of the scoreline last week, I fell for y'all. But we won that game. Ole Reign did 4-1 in Seattle. Next games around the same time was Racing Louisville versus North Carolina in Louisville, with North Carolina winning 2-1 with a goal by Carolyn.
Yep.
Chicago played Orlando in Chicago. And won a game, 1-0 versus Orlando with a beautiful assist from Casey Krueger.
It was beautiful. I screamed, Casey!
I was told she couldn't do that. So what do I know? I was told she can do a lot of things that she seems to be doing. Whatever. And then the game to close out the weekend was the only game on Sunday, and Louisville just scored in the Challenge Cup. Oh, Chenna, I miss you at Tigre. Sorry. It was the other rivalry, Washington GC Spirit. I don't know why I just did all that, versus Gotham FC.
The Diaspora United Derby.
Yeah, the Diaspora Derby. And it ended up 1-1.
Yes.
With goals by Bruninha and Metier, Paige Metier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the rundown of the NWSL games this weekend. And, of course, we are filming this on a Challenge Cup day. One game is in progress with Louisville up 1-0 over Chicago. And then later today will be Ole Reign versus San Diego and Angel City versus Portland. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so let's talk about these games. So Kansas City versus Houston. Kansas City kind of.
They, that it's hard to watch, right?
Yeah.
Like it's all off, right? And it's this team that has their own facility.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting their own stadium,
yep.
like the only WOSO stadium in the country. You have a really big sports name attached to it. You know, with Patrick Mahomes signing on, obviously Brittany is an owner. One of the majority owners. But yeah, and I mean, they got the biggest free agent signing in Dubinha, but they also got Catrone and DiBernardo. They got Hannah Glass. They got a lot of names that even with injuries, and to be fair to Kansas City, there are a lot of injuries. But they should be better than what they are.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah,
and they already fired a coach, so it's not that.
Right. And they keep switching goalkeepers and honestly putting the wrong goalkeeper in the game. Honestly, you just you could have kept AD.
It clearly wasn't AD.
It's not AD. I mean, similar to what we talk about the game, I don't want to talk about. If you don't have a solid midfield, you ain't defending nothing. Like, it's hard to defend, let alone goalkeep, when the ball literally goes from the other side of the pitch into your lap. Like, literally,
and they miss Desiree Scott a lot.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Because she protected that back line. They miss Elizabeth Ball,
yeah.
but they also miss Kristen Edmonds, who they traded.
Yeah, they do.
Willingly, right?
Yeah.
And you have, injuries too with Loretta, but like you traded your whole defense to have a bunch of rookies start.
Right, yeah. And this other issue is like Michelle Cooper ain't being played correctly. Dabinia is having to go all the way back to go get a ball. Dabinia and Michelle Cooper had to like actually defend for swaps of the game. I mean, even how Scordonia scored, she like muscled every, she went through, it was four people around her and she muscled through and kicked the ball in it.
Body whoever that last defender was. Yeah.
Like you can't have that happening. So I don't know what they're gonna do. I guess you wait for people to get healthy. Pray that people get healthy before it gets too late.
But at this point, you have this weekend and next weekend, and then you're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Right? And it's carried over. They've won a few Challenge Cup games, but it's carried over to the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, they're getting killed.
And Dabinia is playing. Like, it's not, like, none of those pieces. And players who played last year are playing.
Right.
So but it's not like they don't know how to win.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something's up.
I mean,
ain't good.
I think it's defense and then pieces that you're missing in the midfield. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest part. I don't know. But Houston scored. Now they just need to figure out how to also play with Ebony Salmon and
to get everybody. Well, they'll have the summer to do it.
Yeah, we will talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get on to that later.
But then I guess San Diego and Portland.
That game was so I get it. It's build, you know, it's this big game. You have two teams who are in the playoff picture, right? They had good games last year. I thought Portland dominated a large part of that game. But Portland forgot how to finish.
Yeah, they couldn't put the ball in the back of it.
And I mean, San Diego did a good job of taking away sort of that. I don't think Portland started Moultrie, if I'm not mistaken. But like that partnership with like Smith and Dunn and like when Moultrie's in there, like those runs. They did not have Klingenberg as well, who helps a lot facilitate that out wide. So I think they just don't have their finishing boots on these days.
Right.
I think San Diego's always going to catch you out, right? They scored that goal. Jakobsen was by far the best player they had. But they didn't score that goal until the vision of Shaw came onto.
Yeah. Let's play some beautiful balls. What?
And I thought that midfield got bossed a little bit, even if Portland couldn't play through theirs the way they normally do.
Yes, it is.
Like, I thought Calabrico got bossed in that game.
Yeah, she got
quite a bit.
Yeah, she got picked up.
Which you bought Calabrico in to not have that happen. But I mean, it's hard to blow San, like DC did it, but it's hard to blow San Diego out most of the time.
Yeah, because they put so many people.
They'll defend well enough. They'll do last ditch defending in the box.
And they put so many people in the box.
Yeah.
So you literally would have to have people who can defeat how they overload the box.
Right. Yeah,
particularly if they get desperate.
So, I mean, it's interesting, right? And you always have that weapon of Sheridan being able to place the ball.
Off of
a goal kick, and that's how they get some of their best chances. But also a little dodgy out of the back. I don't know. That's going to be interesting if teams can press them and challenge that.
That's how you got to get San Diego. You would have to have people that can stretch them where Naomi has no way to cover people. It'll be interesting, like, for when an Angel City, if you were to have a variety of people back, what that looks like when they play them. Because you actually would have to, like, overload them and stress them out that they, like, fall apart.
I would actually stretch the field on them quite a bit and stretch those outside backs and make them 1v1. That's what I would do because Naomi can only run so much.
Right.
It's not a lot now. But it's a lot that she's asked to do, so I would test it. That's me. Not a coach. WSL. Okay, so that was Friday night. Saturday, we'll do the other games first. So,
we could talk about this game.
Let's do it. So the first game on Saturday was our derby, O'Rain versus Angel City. Angel City actually opened the scoring with an Olympic. And then
it went off the rails.
But actually, we drew before the half. On Elise Bennett's first O'Rain goal.
Yeah.
Who she had a dynamite game. I thought she played really well.
But I was going to say, you said the way to beat San Diego was to stretch the field. I mean, Laura Harvey had a masterclass on what she did to Angel City.
Laura Harvey's also never lost to San Diego, so that's my point. But, But, I mean, yeah, Laura, I think, one, we needed that game. Like, we had lost two in a row. We got our asses whooped the week before. Like, we played 2 weeks of horrible football. Like, we needed a win.
I mean, I think the first one was horrible. No, the first one was terrible, but the week before last week was horrible football.
The scoreline was worse with Goslin, but the North Carolina game pissed me off more. Like, I was mad at that North. I was with y'all. Like, I was mad at that North Carolina game.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it bit you in the ass the next week. But then you got it back.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, that's the sign of a team. You know, you bounce back and all of a sudden, we're a top three team again, and we get to play our rivals this weekend. So we'll see what that looks like.
Okay, my brief, because I'm actually going to go in depth to this later on another thing. But The biggest issue, so where y'all had a bad game, Angel City had a bad game, but it's been a history of bad games, that we're now at the concern level. Because like you said, in a couple games, it's halfway through the season, damn near. And you're watching, I think what bothered me about this game and this loss is how they got goals scored on them. I literally can name multiple all-around players who scored similar ways in different games. Like, even for how Elise Bennett was jumping into channels, I was like, y'all just gonna let her drift? This is flashbacks of Rosal Hill. But then also, like, they kind of, like, some players kind of tapped out by the 55th minute, because I think that's when y'all were up 3-1. And it's like, the football was bad. This was probably their worst game they played.
Yeah, it wasn't. I usually don't think Angel City plays horribly. That was not a good game.
That was not a good game. And then even from a tactical standpoint, I was like, this is not going to work. I think what's probably even worse in that sense is we watched a variation of who was thrown out there get played against y'all and get dominated against y'all early in the season. Because this is game 3. They played each other.
Yeah, Challenge Cup.
Yeah. But I mean, even still, like, you knew what was going to happen. So it wasn't a surprise. I think Laura had a phenomenal additional masterclass thing where, how do you defeat Sarah Gordon? Where you have her get preoccupied by somebody else, and then you have somebody else cut inside or cut to the other side to effectively throw a pick. I don't know how to describe it. To effectively prevent her from jumping back to help. And so that's actually how they got on the Elise Bennett goal. And then, yeah, like, y'all should have been up, like, probably 7-1.
I mean, yeah, I also think, again, to be fair to your team, you lost some players last minute that matter, particularly on defense. And you had a winger playing outside back. Like, we at this point have stopped doing that with Latsko, who does it, but didn't in that game. And we took a risk because we didn't start an actual 6 in this game. It worked because we scored. And the threat was pretty much Thompson, right? Like,
yeah.
There's no threat with that lineup of somebody basically carving up the other side of our defense, right? Yeah. And our defense is pretty sound.
And then it played into where teams historically like to pin Angel City. So, like, on the right side.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. But, yeah, it's really, I don't know. It was a game that was like, this is a masterclass, and y'all are getting yeeted. Yes, it is a character building thing, but definitely that's something they got to figure out.
Yeah, and it's a long week, right? Like, you have 3 games in a week, basically, right? You all get an extra day. But
yeah,
it's also a busy week, right? And you have to rotate people. And in theory, you still have people out from protocol. I think Paige is back. I mean, we'll talk about who else might be coming back in a moment. But yeah, I think some of that, I think unlike Kansas City, I can look more at the holes and be like, okay, yes, y'all are a few players away.
Yeah.
I see what you're trying to do, yeah, and I see where the missing players are missed. I see that with Kansas City, but I'm also just like, I've watched Kansas City enough now where I'm like, I don't know what the plan is.
Yeah.
I don't know what your footballing philosophy is. When you're healthy, it's going to be switch positions and out, because you're faster than everybody. Run.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that is the thing I've had to have a conversation with people. Like, I'm like, when you add Kristen Sidney, a healthy Julie, right, and whoever the hell else they may bring out here, it's a quick, similar to how Julie Ertz fixed the shit that was happening in midfield. Kristen and Sydney will cause fucking defenses to melt that you don't have them playing. I mean, I think what we've seen with Angel City at times, they'll defend well, but they can't score. You won't have them issues. And you can't.
Yeah, you need goal scorers. That's real.
I mean, y'all were bracketing Alyssa Thompson.
I mean, we had the best defense last year, and when we couldn't score, we weren't winning. Like, you have to score in this league, yeah, right?
So
it is what it is.
It is what it is, but yeah, we will see. Yeah. The next game.
The next two games were Racing and North Carolina in Louisville, and then Chicago and Orlando. So, like we said, Chicago been on a bit of a losing streak, but they pulled off a win. Early goal from Yuki.
Yes.
From a perfect assist from Casey Krueger.
Yes.
Who has played well despite everything happening with Chicago right now.
Right. And a listener.
I'm glad they got a win. I know that. Yeah, the saves. Woo.
A listener stood on her head. Because understand. Yeah,
she heard the chatter, is what that.
The goal plot for Orlando was fucking insane. Like, they should have had multiple goals. They should have beat the shit out of Chicago. But
they outplayed them. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, listener had multiple saves that were insane. And yeah, it was funny because you could see Marta like, you ain't gonna let me score, like,
right? So it felt personal, all right.
But yeah, they defended for their lives and they managed to win. And then I guess with Racing Louisville, North Carolina,
I mean, I think, man, I think we'll look back on this. North Carolina might have won the offseason, like, they just, it feels like everything they did was right. Just in terms of players and, like, the footballing, I don't think they made bad decisions. The players who need time are getting time.
Yes.
Their international players are spot on. Madsen's been great for them. I mean, Dabinia is still Dabinia, but I'm not so sure Carolyn's not coming for that. Inevitable. Like, she's inevitable. Yes. She's really hard to stop.
Yes.
And every team knows that's the person from North Carolina you're supposed to stop. They don't actually have, to me, a true blue, I'm horrified of you second goal scorer anymore.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they still figure out how to football and go in.
And she still scores. Like, I expect her to be one of the best players in the World Cup.
Yeah. Because she figured it out. Because, yeah. She did score against in that little thing against England, right? She's triggered the penalty.
Assist or something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, she probably is gonna ball.
And that's with her playing in the six, basically, which
yeah, wild. That's correct. That's wild.
No, she's just a very good football player.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Cause with this game, I thought Racing Louisville was like doing well, right?
Yeah.
And you thought everyone fuck around and win, but then yeah, it was like boop boop. And that was it.
North Carolina, and they only need North Carolina defends well enough where if they have a 2-goal lead. They're probably
going to win the game. Yeah.
It's for them last year. So they're good enough. They're sound enough. Casey Murphy seems to be back in form. Like, yeah, that system and the way they play football is different. They've chosen to play a very possession heavy style of football in a league where everybody doesn't possess. Right. So yeah. I think it's interesting that they fascinate me as a team. But yeah, they were successful. And then the last game of the weekend was on Sunday, was Spirit versus Gotham in DC. This is a newer rivalry, but no less intense. And it ended up being 1-1 with the visitors scoring first off of a banger from Buninha, who is the player of the week for the NWSL. And who I think from the time she started till now has leaps and bounds gotten better.
Yes.
She's figured out the NWSL speed. And then... for DC, it was a set piece goal for Paige Metier, midfielder, and 1-1. I think that was a fair score for that game.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's. Listen, it's match day 9 that we just covered. So there are 13 games left. And it's a World Cup year, and there's Challenge Cup games.
Mm-hmm.
There's people coming back from injury, and there are people who will unfortunately get injured.
Yes.
Don't panic, even if you're a Chicago fan.
Yeah, don't panic. Because Chicago won, actually, it saved some of the table. Because various teams at the bottom won, it closed the gap.
So yeah, it's not that big a gap between the last playoff spot and, like, the 11th. Like, it's really not. And so you just got to get in. You just got
to
get in.
If you're new to NWSL, please understand the World Cup is going to shake the shit out of the table.
Yeah,
the post-World Cup is going to shake the shit out of the table. It's 6 playoff spots. Literally, I mean, I tell people, I'm like, example, Utah was totally, completely out the playoff picture, and Chris Press came back and drugged them back to first, and they still didn't make the playoffs, though, at the end of the day. But if they would have had six, they would have made it. But you had various teams. Or if you look at like Orlando, when they were at the top of the table that year, they fell out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it can happen. But anywho, what's next?
Yeah. So that was the week of the NWSL. We just want to shout out, we don't have a formal list of superlatives, but just shouting out all the Black players who had goal contributions this week. Price out goal for Houston, Shaw assist for San Diego, Elise Bennett goal for Lorraine, Kirillin goal for North Carolina, Casey Kruger assist for Chicago, and a Bruninha goal for Gotham.
I think the shea butter bombs and the dimes.
Yes. Thank you.
But anywho, let's see, what's next? I guess, are we going to briefly talk about this Angel City?
You can touch on it, yeah.
Documentary. All right. So, Angel City has a documentary called Angel City. Is it called Angel City SC? Whatever.
Oh, I don't know.
It's on HBO.
That sounds right.
And it goes, it's a three-part documentary that goes through the first season for Angel City. And, I mean, I don't know. I guess my biggest things about it, actually live in swaths of this, I guess from how they told stories, it was interesting. But there was some interesting storytelling. I'm gonna leave it at that. But I do wish there was more diversity in terms of what they show from a supporter group standpoint, so that you got to see the different perspectives of all the supporter groups, but more importantly, also media. Particularly because they pull like some of the bigger media people, but getting perspective from people who actually are at the games day in, day out, your local media is important. That would have been nice to get feedback. There was a clear disconnect between Freya and Any, and their philosophies and for what the system is. That was interesting. I know they tried to paint people in a good light, but it was clear that wasn't working. It was also interesting seeing how startup mentality culture let people for a while think their disagreements and misalignment was going to be okay and they could just ride through it. When in reality, that is not how that ever works, even in a work setting. And it wasn't working for that. And so, and he got, you know, effectively demoted and replaced by Angela. But you could see where there were disconnects. And then some of the mentality where overplaying players, no rotation, it's like, yeah. I don't know how that works in the NWSL, because, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the LAFC Rams hostilities, the men, how hostile they were with Angel City. You know, in terms of using facilities, not belief of facilities. Like, the disconnect of understanding the soccer market out here and thinking that people can pack out a 22,000 stadium in a city that's, what, 20, 30 million? It's a lot of people who live in LA. It's insane. 20,
but there's a lot of people here, yes.
Yes.
There's millions of people.
And then I guess the importance of training facilities and roster management. You need facilities, quality training facilities. It was, I get in props for showing how fucked up the training facilities were. But you need quality facilities. I think that probably more so got Any in a lot of trouble. She was in charge of that portion. But yeah, your roster management is super important too. Like, you can't not trade and then not anticipate, not have the right people, but then not anticipate injury. And then clearly there's going to be a season two. So, because superstars were hurt, but they've been doing publicity and you can kind of see where they alluded to the fact there's going to be season two. I don't know if you had any thoughts or things.
Like I said, my goal was to watch it while I was out of town, but that's when I got sick. So I have not gotten to do that, but that's what this weekend will be. I obviously have some idea of what went into it. I haven't gotten to watch all three parts of that, but it sounds on brand for what I've seen,
just
in and around and covering the team. But I am interested to see it, and like from the genesis of it, growth, what that all looks like. We haven't really gotten that kind of insight before. And also, it's a documentary. Documentaries are movies.
Yeah.
Movies are always going to try to paint it a certain way, right? Not necessarily all fair, lovey-dovey, rose-colored glasses, but it's a movie. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got the whole perspective. But it was cool to see the inner workings. Yeah. Like, it was cool to actually see a woman's team actually treat a team like a fucking business, not a charity case. And hearing from the players' perspectives on a variety of things. So it was cool.
And everyone's obsessed with Jasmine Spencer, as they should be.
Yes, as they should be. Yeah. She's dope. So it's cool to actually hear from all the players, not just stars, not just who you may know, think to know, but hear to all the players. And then I guess, all right. Do we do hits or riffs or do we rants or raves first?
Let's save our songs for last, yeah.
Okay. So I guess it's more so a rant, rave.
It's rant, just a list of stuff.
A smorgasbord of
Yeah, we can do the raves. We can save the raves for the last one. I mean, goodness. Well, since the last time we were on, not that racismo is new. We did not cure it, despite popular belief. But obviously the stuff with Vinny Jr. in Spain hit its peak. And so, I mean, first and foremost, before anything else, y'all know where we stand on this. We love you, Vinny. And you should not have to deal with all of the racism you've had to deal with all season long. Just for being good at soccer and being a black boy. Like, you should, a black man, you shouldn't have to. But yeah, Spain has a, so when we have these conversations about countries and people very rightfully get on the US or England in particular for their racism, if they are fans of Spain, I will always tell them, I think you should slow down. I don't think Spain and Italy have a whole lot of room to say a whole lot of anything about racism. France too, for that matter. In other words, if your country colonized somebody, I think you should fall back. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah, that's true. True.
Someone in Mexico spoke Spanish before y'all got here.
Yep.
Or any other Spanish-speaking country. They didn't always speak Spanish. Just like we didn't always speak English. So it's clearly a problem that La Liga does not want to deal with. And it seems to be at large. Like, it's been going on for a very long time. And we're talking about nooses and monkey sounds and the N-word in Spanish and all of these other things that are blatant. Like, the racism y'all say exists, which is the really overt kind. That's like a step away from somebody walking down the street with a hood on. That's the kind of racism Vinny's dealing with. And it just, it doesn't have any place in football, and yet it seems to persist in football. And until racism is a deal breaker for people whom it does not affect, this is where we're going to be. And I don't have anything more eloquent to say without getting really pissed, so.
I was going to say, I did see some people think that what he's dealing with wasn't like happening in the United States. Child, please. We had this happen, the microaggressions, it can be overt, indirect, as far as the N-word, people getting called monkey, so on and so forth. But I mean, the microaggressions are fucking insane. And what it looks like and what players have to deal with and feeling gaslit. What hell, what we as media members have to deal with, what supporters, fans, like the racismo exists, is global, worldwide. They need to give a damn. He shouldn't have to go through that. Neither should any player or anybody. Hopefully there is a resolution. And honestly, you know, they probably gonna have to just unite and shake that shit, because it's gonna take affecting the money.
Yeah, it's the money. Nothing's gonna change till the money's affected. And I don't know what that looks like. I have some ideas of what it could look like, but it would include buy-in from everybody. And I don't know if we're all there yet. Some of us are, but I don't think everybody's there yet. And that's just a sad reality, which means it's not going to actually change with any real consistency until that happens. I mean, goodness, all of our rants could be speaking of racismo. Where do I want to go next?
Crystal Dunn is a midfielder.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Okay, so we need to stop this nonsense. Okay, so Crystal Dunn is a midfielder. On a particular show, they were having an argument on whether or not Crystal Dunn was a midfielder. And Jenny Chu had to break out video to break out why she is a midfielder and should be a midfielder on national team. I don't know what the hell this is the argument for. Because last I checked, did she not win multiple championships in the NWSL as a midfielder for multiple teams and win the Golden Boot, the MVP? So what is this question of whether or not she can be a midfielder? Do you understand?
Yeah. So, I mean, this, first and foremost, shout out to the other pod. One, on their 100th episode.
Yes.
And two, that 100th episode being with Crystal Dunn. Geet. Like, that's just next level. Where they talked about this. And Crystal Dunn gave us her blessing to start the Crystal Dunn to midfield for the national team campaign after the World Cup. And Crystal, I love you down. I love you with my whole heart. We love young nephew. I'm a keep going. Like, I'm not waiting
until we can't stop
for that. No. Because you are a midfielder. You know how I know? Because you play midfield for Portland.
Right. And they're where? Aren't you
tied for goals?
Yes.
Golden Boot race?
Come on now.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I don't understand how you look at our current midfield and think Crystal Dunn is not one of the best midfielders we have.
Right.
Nay, best players. You know how I know you think she's one of the best players? Because you play her at left back.
Yeah.
And I now know that you give her no coaching because she doesn't play left back in the league. So when she goes to national team camp, they can't give her feedback. I thought that's what coaches did. I thought.
Well.
If you were a coach, that was part of your job.
It's supposed to be.
And I'm not talking about the head coach. I'm talking about the staff. Nobody can give her feedback.
That's wild shit.
So Crystal and I got to figure it out for herself. So in other words, Crystal Dunn, come save us. Lynn Williams, come save us. Seems to be the theme here.
But it don't
No, I don't know how to coach your position. I don't know how to give you any constructive feedback, but you're doing lovely. What?
Yeah, that... It don't have to be. What's crazy is...
If I'm a teacher, I go in the classroom and I say, I don't know how to give you feedback on that. You think I'd still be a teacher? Are you serious right now? Forget the state of public education. I know what it's like. I've been in the trenches. But what I'm saying to you is a teacher is going to get fired.
Yeah, basically.
We've been through a major tournament already. What do you mean? You don't know how to at least give this woman feedback on a position that she doesn't play anywhere else.
That's wild.
And that means you don't have any other left backs you trust to give her feedback. Who the hell's coaching defense on this team?
Clearly nobody.
Oh my God.
What's wild is you're making one of your better left backs play right back. Then... You won't bring in legit like Carson Pickett.
Like a Carson Pickett who I'm watching right now.
Ball as a left back.
And when she did play for the national team, it wasn't Carson Pickett that got beat.
Yeah. Well, Carson Pickett was balling. She didn't get beat on her side. They couldn't come down her side.
She wasn't the mark.
She wasn't. It's
but you wouldn't know that if you don't know how to evaluate defensive talent. So that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, but it's crazy because I'm like, Who are you telling would actually start over Crystal Dunn right now, as is? Who is in better form?
No, because Rose is hurt, and that's the only person I'd even think about.
Rose may not go to the World Cup. That's a whole other story. But
she'll go, whether she's 100%.
Yeah. But, I mean, who is better? And actually, what's crazy is Crystal Dunn played with Lindsey Horan. Who was better in the midfield? Why would you, can I get an understanding? Why wouldn't you play her? Why would you not play her in the midfield when she plays with Sophia Smith and in tandem they score a bunch of goals together?
If league play matters, she should be a midfielder.
Yeah.
If, you know what? The minute I found out they didn't give her any feedback, I was like, oh, they can't coach defense. And that explains so much. Because what do you mean? You're asking somebody to play out of position and you can't offer them any critique, feedback, anything. Because my question to you is this. What does a good left back look like?
Right. Hell,
don't tell me it looks like Crystal Dunn. I know Crystal Dunn is good. I've watched soccer for a decade. I know Crystal Dunn's good. I knew she was good in 2015 too. Y'all didn't, but that's not a me problem. What do you say to her? What do you say, like, this is how a good left back plays? Because essentially she's looking around at the rest of the world in her own league, trying to figure out how to piece it together. And the only reason it works is because she's Crystal motherfucking Dunn.
Yeah.
And she can do pretty much anything.
That's wild. So then what evaluation are then you giving to right backs?
What are you, because you've moved a left back to a right back position. Sophia Wirtz is not a right back.
Right.
She is now, but the reason she can play right back is because she also plays it for club, because Laura made that choice.
Yeah.
Because Laura was like, I gotta have Sophia on the pitch. And so if somebody's going to do it, I'll do it at a club level. That way I can fucking teach her how to play right back. And because Lou's there and other really good defenders are there who can help walk her through it, instead of just throwing her to the wolves on the national team like they did the first time she played on the national team, least you forget, after she switched from Mexico. And it did not work when they did it to Sophia Huerta. It did not work when they did it to Taylor Smith. It did not work when they did it to Christy Mewis. Everybody, this ain't our first rodeo doing this bullshit.
Wait, everybody forgets how good Sophia Huerta was in this hack, man.
Yeah, that's why she's the right back, because we couldn't not have her on the pitch.
Certain beautiful doms. Y'all forget when she played with Kristen Press. Anyway, but yeah, I don't understand.
But even at the beginning with OL Reign, like, she was up top.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't, they clearly do not understand how to deal with offensive backs. Because yeah, it must be an issue of can you evaluate and tell people as an outside back, how good they look, left, right, up, down. Because even for, like, not playing Casey Krueger, when your best forwards in the world are telling you Casey Krueger is the best right back 1v1, why were you not having her in your rotation? Why are you do not have Carson Pickett? Why are you making this complicated? That's wild shit. But anyway, back to Crystal Dunn. She should be a midfielder. It ain't nobody. If you want stability, you want to run this non-system, you need Crystal Dunn on the pitch, period, as a midfielder. Not a left back, not a nothing else, as a midfielder. Why wouldn't you do that? Because she, as a defender, she easily also could, in theory, drop into a six. She easily moves box to box. She can't attack. This is stupid, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't... You have a midfield problem. You've spent 2 years trying to figure out how to fix it. You get Julia to, what, 80%? I'm going to go with. Which is still better than any six we have right now. But Rose is hurt. She's going to go. Because we can't win without Rose Lavelle. But I also don't know how healthy Rose Lavelle will be. Because I was told, as somebody whose club team she plays for, at the last camp, it was a minor knot.
Yeah, allegedly.
And then she got back to Seattle, and that ain't what we found. So somebody lying, and my team don't lie about injuries like that. I know, because they got Megan Rapinoe on that team, and we have sat her out for damn near a year at points, trying to get her healthy. Like, we don't have those issues. We're honest about our injuries. So what the hell happened to Rose Lavelle?
Right.
And how many people we going to break in camp? Because you also praying that Lindsey Horan's knees hold up. And I don't know about that.
Right. They literally had to sit Lindsey Horan for multiple weeks to get
her
to be able to play.
Call her potato because her knees swell.
That's terrible.
Now, as a grown woman, you're not calling me potato.
Right. But that should not be
the reason that they call her potato is because her knees are fucked up.
That's not good.
And she plays every minute of every game. She never rests. You telling her she got to hold up for prayerfully, what, 7 games? 8? However many you play to get to the final?
That coming in rapid succession.
She's staying right over in France, too. She ain't coming back.
Right.
I don't know if y'all know that. She not leaving. Yeah. She happy as hell at Lyon. And why would you be owned by Merritt when you can be owned by Michelle?
True.
So, despite the mini exodus at Lyon, like, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. But yeah, it's just, I don't know what else we have to say. Like, I don't know what other football I can make you watch. And it can't be like, it's an easy answer.
It can't be a, well, Crystal Dunn's been playing in the position. Y'all gotta shut that shit up. So, she's a fucking midfielder. Stop this shit. Why are y'all trying to be broke?
If Crystal Dunn is a utility player, how come she only plays in one spot for the national team?
Come on now.
Like, a utility player can play anywhere. So why does she only play in one space and in her worst position?
Right.
Why do we insist on playing people out of position? I don't care how talented they are. They will always be more talented in the position they are best at.
Right.
Because that's football.
England
Your ego is a... You're not a good enough coach to tell somebody who's not a left back how to play left back. Why on earth do you think your ego warrants all these decisions that you're making? As a staff, it's not just the coach, it's the federation, it's that staff, it's everybody.
Yeah, it's illogical. It don't make sense.
You the weakest link.
Yeah. You literally have the deepest talent pool. We shouldn't be doing this shit.
This is ridiculous.
You literally have the deepest talent pool at every position. You shouldn't be making one of your best players play out of position when you have a midfield issue.
You have left backs. You have outside backs. You have people who can play that position. Fine. They're fine in that position.
Sills, they literally have a midfield issue. Yes. And you're not playing your best midfielder in the
We have a midfield issue in a World Cup year where a whole lot of teams got the best midfields they've ever had. The year to have a shitty midfield ain't the year Landon Oberdorf is 21 years old and ready to ball out. Like, this ain't the year, damn it.
Right.
Because you know what I know? We didn't score a single goal against Germany when Landon Oberdorf was in that game. Yeah. I know that. In fact, she beat our entire back line, including Naomi and Crystal, with one pass in 20 minutes. She didn't even start the game. And Mal ain't going to be there. But Mal and Sophia did not score in that game until Landon Oberdorf went out with an injury. She's their age, right? In fact, she's younger than Mal. She's the same age as Sophia. Like, other countries got ballers who are teenagers too. Like, this ain't the year.
To get how much she's gonna feel.
We've seen some of these squads already. Keep playing if you want to.
Yeah. So I don't know. Crystal Dunn's a midfielder. Argue with your stuffed animals. Argue with your Legos.
Right.
Your mama. Not with us. Right. Okay. The W chat.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I ain't gonna go too deep into it, but basically, receipts came out about the WNBA, about a group chat that exists in the WNBA for a particular entity, largely white media members, who had all kinds of things to say about various black reporters, content creators in the WNBA space. And all the running theme that it came back to was, it is clear, you know, we as black people know how white people think about us as creators existing in this space, question our intelligence, understanding the game, so on and so forth. So a lot of the stuff that came out wasn't a surprise, but it was wild to see how people be kiki in your face and then be talking all this mess behind the back. And you saw a lot of people have half-assed apologies. It was a wild Monday. The WNBA Monday happened.
It's a holiday.
It happened early. Decided
to wild out on a holiday. My goodness.
But this is why we all know it was wild. It was like hating. Like, we got group chats, but we ain't hating. We out here building community, vibing.
I mean, we're mostly reckless in our group chats.
We're reckless as hell in the group chats.
We talk about soccer maybe 25% of the time.
No, we talk about life.
I mean, we learn a lot about each other. We're closer than we need to be. I know way more about the people in the group chat than I do.
Yeah, we are wild. However, if our group chat got leaked, y'all have some thoughts about us. But it's not no hating shit. Like, this, it was crazy shit in that group chat that is literally like, why are y'all...
There's nothing in terms of who we share the space with and the football that we watch. There's nothing I say in a group chat that goes against what I said with my chest.
Right.
And
go ahead.
I know. Sorry, hold on. I know the rest of those group chats in other women's sports spaces was screaming to make sure that joint was locked down.
Yeah. Because you know they'd be hating.
Sorry, I had to cough. I just want to shout out to the Black folks in those spaces, particularly Black women, who are getting shit done. But, like, y'all undermine people's work. You understand the lack of access, and yet y'all lean into that shit and dig. And everything you said in that group chat is stuff we know you say.
Yeah.
About us. Because we are Black, because we are not men. And for the W, you are covering a sport where most people look like us.
Right. This is wild.
And so, for you to come after the people who look like us who cover the sport.
That's wild shit.
Is arrogant. And it's steeped in the supremacy y'all refuse to do the work to eradicate.
And it's wild because y'all group chat got leaked and most of the league is Black. What you think that's going to do for you trying to cover them?
Right, the players. Like, what did you... How did you think that was going to go? And what makes you think that players don't feel that when you interact with them?
Yep.
See, what I need y'all to understand, I've said this before on the show, the oppressed always knows their oppressor. The oppressor never knows the oppressed because they don't have to.
Yeah.
It's a matter of survival for us. White people, we fucking know you better than you know yourselves. Because our survival depends on it. We don't want to be you. Let me rephrase that. There probably are some people who want to be you. I don't really bang with them either. When your white friends got more Black friends than you, you should look into that. But, like, we know you intimately. Yeah.
Right.
And against our will. We know you. So nothing that leaked was a shock because we already know you say that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to WOSO right now.
Yeah, because...
Fucking know. Because people show me. That's what happened with the W. Somebody showed them that.
Yeah.
They weren't in that chat.
Yep. It got
people
leaked.
Pull y'all... People ain't loyal to y'all. One.
Yeah.
And two, I know your energy. I've been Black for 39 years.
Wow. You're putting your age out there. Antique.
I mean, I didn't call myself that, but cool. All right, fine. I've earned this gray hair in this age, damn it. But for 39 years, I've been Black in this body. I know how y'all get down. We know everything you say. Your playbook is sad. Like, we know. It's been the same place for 400 years, fam.
Yeah, that's true.
Defense is real predictable. Like, I can defend that goal. If you want to bring it back to soccer.
Wow. Okay, bars. Metaphors.
So, like, I need y'all to know that, and I need y'all to know that we know it ain't just the WNBA.
Yeah.
It just happens to be unique because that league is mostly Black women and femmes and non-men and non-binary people. Like, it is us.
Yeah.
In that league. The same way the NBA is mostly us. So, again, there is no substitute for the work. Go do the work or get away from Black women.
Yes.
Like, stay away. Because you mean us no good.
Yep.
If you mean me no good, as far as I'm concerned, you mean me harm. And I don't need more harm in my life right now.
True.
Okay. That's all I got. Like, that. And shout out to Erica and Ari and Terica and Lo. I can't believe y'all came after Ari and Lo. I hate y'all. And everybody else busting their ass. Bringing us to the actual players, to the actual game, to the actual content, while knowing their stuff.
Yeah. It started off with what was said about Christina.
Yeah, and Christina, shout out.
Yeah, shout out to all y'all. Because they actually doing the work. Shout out to, like, include also the committee, because y'all talk crazy about the committee, because they aren't the appropriate way you feel they should be in the space. Similar to how we get talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Because we too Black.
I'm not professional. I'm also not mediocre.
Yeah, that part. We're not professional because we exude our Blackness. But yeah, we ain't mediocre.
It's the way I know most Black players aren't mediocre because I know how hard they had to work just to get as far as your favorite Black player. That's how I know.
True.
And if you hollered, you would have hit dog, and that's not my problem.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. Like, y'all just be racist all damn day.
Yeah. And this is what we be talking about. Like, this is the racism. This is when we talk about racism. It's all over the place. Like, shit. I just want to like be able to watch soccer, cover soccer.
As Ebony says, I just want to have some drinks and watch soccer with my friends.
Wow. You were about to say the original quote.
Man. I was. I did. But
if you know, you know. Word to Navidad.
Yes.
I guess the last rant, we'll circle back to the rest part of this during the race. The WBA needs to expand its rosters.
Oh my God.
They're not even at 144 people because
of salary cap issues. Some teams don't have a full roster.
So, because of the COVID everything, like, they're going to have to figure this out in the next few years. Kathy talk about some, we going to expand maybe eventually. The girl,
she
expand.
Said teams, not spots. So, a fun history lesson. The WNBA used to have 15 spots, not 12. And they reduced the number of spots so that they, in theory, could pay everybody else more.
Yeah.
But there is more money in the W now than there has ever been. And adding 3 more spots to your team, just 3.
3.
Would probably bring you more revenue because you'd be able to keep future stars and current stars.
Yep.
And it's reversed, right? Because it used to be they did that so that they could keep more vets or something like that.
Yeah.
But now it's gone the other way. Like, you have first round picks.
Getting cut
the year they get picked.
And he got
and it's supposed to be the best league in the world. And it does produce the best players. But other leagues gonna pony up money. That's why people go play overseas.
Yeah.
Maybe not Russia now. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't have to play in 2 professional leagues.
Yeah.
NBA players don't have to do that.
Yeah, and the other issue is they like you don't give people a chance to grow. So it's going to be really wild in this next draft that stacked. Because then you're going to cut players who you shouldn't have to cut. Right. Like, the concept of a Becky Hammon never exists. Or you can't grow into your game. Or particularly because when she came into the league, the ABL broke up. And so all those players came into the league.
Yeah.
So everybody was screwed. Because of what happened with COVID, you got, like, people stayed in school to get their whole master's degrees and everything and making more money on the nil, and then they're going to come out to get drafted. Like, you're going to have teams and some shit.
Next year's draft is a very good example. Like,
yeah,
what is it? Like, the top 10 or 12 players?
Are
good. Like, I don't know if everybody's going in the first round. That's how much talent, theory, can come out next year if, like, Angel and a few others decide to come out. Like, ain't no reason to tank because it's a loaded draft. But also, one of those players is going to get cut.
Right.
Because you still have vets. You still have people coming back from pregnancy or injury or all these other things. Like, there's not enough room for a draft that's going to have Caitlin Clark and Cameron Brink and Paige Beckers and Angel Reese and Haley Lith, Van Lith, and all these other people.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, that's a lot of people.
And I'm missing people. I know I'm missing
people. You're missing swaths of people. You're missing people off your own.
I think I'm missing old girl from Kentucky. I'm missing several people.
Like, yeah.
If Rekia comes out next year, like,
yes, all it's that. It's the whole, you literally talk about everybody who can draft.
Yes.
From the first, even into the second round, because Aces lost their pick. Like, literally, like, you can for real draft top talent. This draft is so deep. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I know what Kathy needs to do. She needs to bring it back to 15. And if, honestly, fucking expand. Like, put a team in Toronto, put a team in Philly. Put a team in Oakland and go be
great. There's no team in Florida, right?
No.
Florida doesn't have a W team. That's wild to me. There's only one team in Texas,
it
right?
Used to you be have the, a historical the Miami franchise. Soul, right? It was the Miami Soul.
I think so, yeah. They had the Soul. And then you used to have, the first juggernaut, right? The first dynasty was in Houston.
And then the
you
second
could bring
dynasty.
Back Sacramento. You could bring back Detroit. Like, there's historic franchise. Charlotte, like,
yeah.
There's historic franchise. This league is 20. This league is older than most of the front line for the women's national team right now.
Yep. And we
like,
up
you
here.
You can tap into your history now.
And we're nickeling and diming and bullshit. And Kathy's up here explaining. I'm like, girl, you
it's
got
poverty.
People.
It's poverty behavior. It's the same thing the NWSL had to learn. Like, you move in. from a deficit mindset. You're moving from a, oh, we're not going to survive. Oh, there's not enough money. Oh, there's not enough minutes. You're moving from a deficit mindset. And that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help in education. It doesn't help in social work. It doesn't help in sports.
Yeah, and no, makes sense, because Kathy's up here like, well, yeah, I got like 100 people trying to, who have bids. Ma'am, there's only so many cities. And right. Basketball gyms are easy to put booties in. So
right. What are you talking about? Exists, and you play off season. So you can share a stadium, essentially.
And I know for a fact, NBA teams have been asking to actually bring in a WNBA team. Yes. And they are ready.
Because it's a partnership. Like,
they've been ready, and you won't expand. What are you doing?
Not saying the NBA is always the best partner, but it's a partnership. It behooves them for you to do well. So, yeah, I don't know. Kathy's interesting.
Kathy, girl. Oh, Lord. Please do better, be better. But anyway. Yeah. I guess it's time for some hits and riffs. We go hits and riffs.
Oh, are we shouting? Are we doing our shout out raves?
Well, I mean, I thought we were going to do raves at the end.
Okay, we'll save at the end. Okay, that works.
All right, so here we go. Hits and riffs. Who's going first? I got no music, so we gonna make up music.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going first.
Wow.
I took it back a little bit. Okay, so my throwbacks are Be All Right, and that's the letter B, the letter R, and the word right. Trina featuring Chris Lava Lava. Ludacris, for those who don't know better. And
are
then...
Are you going to sing a hymn of it?
I can't sing anything right now because my voice is like that. And then my other one is It's Over Now, 112.
Okay, I see you.
And then New School, I See You by Coco Jones, which I think just went number one or something like that. I really like Coco Jones. She's a throwback in a good way. And then Have Mercy by Chloe.
Okay.
All right.
I see.
Those are mine.
All right. So mine, Do Me by BBD. Do it. Do it.
Wow. I haven't heard that song.
Yeah. I like Bye Guy. I like. Wait, that's not right. Is it?
What are you saying?
I like the way. That's not the right song. That's not Guy, is it? I like it. My bad. Wrong song. My bad. Y'all know I'm all. It's been a minute. And then I guess Is It Good to You by Heavy D. Is it good to you? And then my other song, I guess, will be Forever, off the Catriona Meunier situation. That's Catriona and Amine anime. Their dual in rapping situation. That album's fire.
Okay.
This is heat after heat after heat after heat. Like that with Pharrell, that song is bomb as hell. There's some bars on there. That's some grown shit. But anyway, okay. That's my stuff. All right, so that's it. Oh, my bad. We're going to do some raves.
Yeah.
Wait, what do we start with? Congratulations to all the people making the World Cup.
Yeah, so far, I think we got Portugal, Germany, England. Might have gotten a few other countries. I didn't pay attention. Shout out England and Jess Carter and Lauren James.
Yes.
Both going to their first World Cups. Germany, Nicole Anyome. Shout out. Oh, the Dutch. Sorry. Esme Brutz. And Shanice van der Sanden and Lyneth Bernstein all made that squad. Portugal, listen, I know that's about half delegates. Shout out to Portugal for their first World Cup. They dropped a really cool commercial for it in their country, which I think for them is a big deal. It's cool to see. As more squad announcements come in, I'm sure the U.S. will be on the tail end of that, because we all know what we're doing, as we talked about earlier in the show. We'll see what the next few weeks in WSL look like as people try to make their cases. But it's that time. World Cup is almost upon us. So congratulations to those people who've made it and who get to live out a dream. It's dope. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Let's see. Non-soccer shout out before we do these. Shout out to Halle Bailey, not Perry.
Wow.
And The Little Mermaid. It did really well. Opening weekend. It's holiday weekend, obviously. I have not gotten to see it yet. Those the people that I know who've seen it seem to have liked it. And I know those vocals are obscene, so
yeah.
Man, and she's about to be in The Color Purple. It's a good year for her. It's gonna be a good year for her. So yeah, that's what we got. And then other shouts. Do you want to take one of these?
Yes. Shout out to the legend, one of the Queen Goats. You know, I got a couple favorite players.
Yes.
Welcome back, Sydney LaRue. Yeah. What it do?
That's exciting.
Sydney LaRue will be back on the pitch.
Shout out to Ashton Rue's mom. She's back.
She's back. So she posted she's back for real, for real. She's actually on the bench for this Challenge Cup game that's about to pop off. And then do you want to do the other one?
Yeah, because I found out like everybody else did today. Shout out to coach Leslie Gallimore. Seattle legend. Is the new general manager for OL Reign. It's a really good hire. She knows local soccer better than just about anybody in the sport in general. And you know she's got to be dope if she's a Husky and I'm a still bigger up. So I'm really excited about the hire. I think it's a really good hire. So yep. As everything else is in limbo, that was a really good hire. So yeah.
And then, yeah, I guess that are these shout outs. So what do we want to do? Oh, okay. Do we make that announcement first or do we shout people out?
Let's go ahead and do our shout outs and we'll save it for
all right. Okay. So, shout out to Two Cents Family, Two Cents FC, Shout FC. It's a T whole thing. Something like, what's that? Death Row.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Also, okay. Big Boy is a fire MC. Sorry, that was a side thing because then I thought of Andre 3000. Y'all be giving Big Boy the same respect. Anyway,
no,
shout out to Can I Kick It? Shout out to Dreamin' of Freedom. That's actually going to be a rebrand. So stay tuned what they changed to. Shout out to Florida Culture United. Shout out and happy birthday to Kaya Esquire.
Yes.
Shout out to Walking 90. Shout out to Diaspora United. And turning old. Y'all tall and old now. And then shout out to our street team, Georgia, Nubia, and JG. If you see social media stuff, it's me because Nubia is in an internship. So congratulations to you.
They're killing it. So
shout out to the roommate Alex. Shout out to Ebony Navidad. Shout out to Super Macario. Shout out to Maya, who helped Christina.
Yes.
Who is an Adobe, I was about to say Adobe scholar.
And dropped the first piece today. So it's really dope.
And also check out Maya on, on Kicks United, doing things in the streets. Then shout out to our patrons. We got content for y'all, like a lot of content.
We do.
So, Gal Pal Sports, Carolyn Needles, and all y'all who support us all every week. So I guess it's that time for some announcements. Which announcement are we doing first?
I don't know. You lead it off.
Okay, so I guess one big thing, because we've been ghost. Well, we've been working and stuff. But we've been working in the background. So we are doing a collaboration with Angel City where we're going to do a live version of our podcast at the pregame before the Juneteenth game. That is June 5th. Is this coming Monday.
Yes.
We'll be rocking the sets from 4 to 6 thereabout. So we will actually do our podcast, but it's going to be like live and direct in your face. So our segments will come to life. We will have DJs. Our DJs who have helped us when we've done tailgates and stuff in the past. So a Dodge, Ram Skillet, going to be on the ones and twos. And then we're going to have surprise guests and so forth. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interactive. It's going to change your way of how you experience the Shea Butter situation. So appreciate y'all, Angel City, for letting us collaborate.
Yes.
And what else do you have for us?
Was there another one?
Yes. Are we going to, can we say?
Oh, yes. Lord, I was like, what are you talking? Yes. So, Shea Butter FC. Well, by the time this hits, you'll know.
Yeah.
We'll be going into syndication.
Yeah. Look at us going to syndication.
With Black Rosie Media. So yes. We're really excited. Shout out to Erica. Yes. For hooking that up. So yeah, you'll be able to listen to our episodes back. You can see how much we've grown.
Yes.
I probably need to listen back too, because it's been a while.
Yes. So
yeah.
That's why she asked the question of why y'all like Shea Butter episodes. There are a bunch of episodes you will hear back from back in the day. And yeah, you'll see over the time how we also collaborate on some other stuff. But yeah, that
absolutely. So now there's one more way to listen to Shea Butter and honestly hang out and around Black Rosie for all of their content. They do really, really good work. So
right. And other than that, there is another announcement when we, I guess in theory, it probably will get announced with this announcement, but we'll hold off on that one. But anyway, yeah, so we got things coming. There is more stuff coming now that people aren't as sick or healthy or working.
I'm close enough. I still got this congestion, but this is the least I've coughed in like a week and a half.
Yeah. So you're way better. So but yeah, we're going to be out there. Tell your friends, tell your family, bring your people. If you're in LA, you can even fly to LA. Come check us out.
You can.
So come out and vibe. It's going to be fun. It's going to be wild. Y'all are going to be tripped out. And it's the first of quite a few things coming up. So anyway, but in the meantime, what are we going to do? We're going to stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
We're going to make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
For sure. And make sure your Shea Butter bombs are always elevated.
All right. So be easy. Have fun. See y'all on Monday. Hear y'all on Monday.
If you're in LA, come out.
If you're in LA, come out. And if you're a patron, you got so much content coming for you. Like, it's going to be kind of overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Because now that she's better, we can actually record.
Can actually do stuff. So
yeah. Appreciate y'all. Say y'all, babe.
Thank you for your patience. Peace out.